listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for over 17 years, Raising the Standard.
Amen.
And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida, that we have, and it's going to be 22 years on January 3rd, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. So we welcome all you listeners, wherever you are. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And if you can't, we do offer CDs and tapes if you'd want a copy of it.
Amen.
And so we're honored to be here with you, and we've been doing this for so long, and it's a joy to do it. Sometimes we're busy and all that, but you can always take a few moments and sit down and ask the Lord what He have us to share. And so we don't plan a whole lot of fancy things, do we, Pastor Donna? We just basically kind of just be led by the Lord. We know the season we're in right now. We're going to be talking about Hanukkah again today. We talked about it last week. And so when we get into those seasons, well, God wants us to teach on those things, to understand not only what happened historically, but what's happening now and also in the future. And so it's what we're going to do. So we're going to release ourselves to the Holy Ghost and let Him lead and guide in this. And we use the King James Version Bible if you're interested in what we're going to read out of as we look at some scriptures here. So Pastor Donna's across the table, the desk here from me.
Thank you, Lord.
And she's probably got a couple of announcements she'd like to make. And then we'll kind of delve into this. We couldn't complete it last week. It was so much. But we'll try to touch on some things from last week with a little bit of review. And then we'll go on from there. So Pastor Donna, what do you have to say that you want to bring to the audience there that's listening about our church and our...
Well, we just want to say blessings to everyone.
Hallelujah, and, right.
I know that everyone is busy. Here we are in the very last month of the year. I mean, mm-hmm. getting ready for a new year, and so many people are out and about and busy. But, you know, we do need to settle ourselves and stay focused on the Lord, because
Amen.
That's where our peace is. He right. is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace.
It's all about Him anyhow, isn't it?
Everything's right. about Him. Yes,
right.
Amen. So I just want to welcome you all, and I want to say... that we're blessed to be here on this radio broadcast, and this is also on the internet. So if you happen to be driving down the road and you don't live in this area, you can also pick up this station on the internet, WCNO.com, mm-hmm. every Saturday. And actually, they're on 24/7.
That's right.
Radio and music and teaching. But we are on every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So you can listen to us again next week if you like, or you can tell your friends, neighbors, relatives, hey, they're teaching some things, some prophetic things about the end times. And that's basically what we're called to do. Plus, you know, encourage you all and let you know that, you know, God is still on His throne, praise
that's
God.
Right.
Even though we see a lot of things happening that are not pleasing to God and not pleasing to us that are believers.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to know that God is in control of everything. Amen. So I do want to bless you all, and I want to mention also that we have services here in Stuart. Every Sunday morning we have services at 10 a.m., and then we have Friday night services at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service every Friday.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's a time to come into His rest. Amen. We honor the Sabbath, And
not the first day of the week, don't we?
Not because we're any particular denomination, no. Right. It's just because we're not. It's just because the Lord has said that, has spoken to us prophetically. See, God speaks to people. He spoke to the prophets. We're going to talk about Daniel. He spoke to Daniel, didn't he?
Yeah, it's
and
in the
he's
Word.
Still, he's still speaking. He's still giving people a word.
That's right.
He's still giving directions. And
hallelujah.
He's still calling people into the kingdom of God. So people do hear God's voice. And so that's how he leads us and guides us and directs us in the things, the path he'd have us to go. So we do have just that time of just coming in and just having a resting and spending time worshiping the Lord, because God said the Sabbath was set up for man that we might find rest.
That's right.
And so
it was given to us for that purpose.
Given to us, and the Lord gave me said that this year we would have double grace and double warfare prayer, but we must have double rest.
Amen.
To fulfill the call that God has on each one of our lives. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to mention that to you, and we also have a Saturday services. We have Bible study on Saturday. So I'm going to give you and that's at 4:00, and then we pray at 6:00. So I'm just going to give you our telephone number so you can give us a call if you'd like to know more information. You'd like to have a calendar. We'd be glad to send you out this calendar for December. And perhaps you might be interested in Pastor Gene's commentary, which he's going to be teaching some things out of today about Hanukkah and out of the book of Daniel. And you know, the book of Daniel, teaches us some things that are going to happen
in the future.
In the future. So we need to know what's going to happen in the future, in the end times, in the end days, because we are coming, we're in that time. And every day, every moment, we get closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give you our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat it one more time. Area code 772-285-7007. And I don't know if Ross and Audrey are back. They're back on the island, but I'm not sure if they're listening to this program today. But we were blessed to have them here for a whole month.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to have them here in the States and to be able to see their family and get supplies and all for the temple of God.
Right.
And if you'd like to send in some extra money to help them build a church over there, it's called the Temple of God. We need bricks and...
Not bricks, blocks.
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 Blocks and steel.
Lots of material.
And concrete. And
they've got it started, yeah.
All those things and to help build the Temple of God on Andros Island. So if you're from that area, well, wouldn't you want to see apostolic prophetic church be
on
raised
island,
up
boy,
on that
yeah.
island, on Andros Island, and and have a a call for the people there. Amen.
They've been there already for quite a few years. So.
Praise the Lord. So we're blessed to be here.
Sure.
Amen.
So if you'd like to give something to them, just if you like, you send a check in for a love offering or whatever, just write on the bottom of the check. It'll be for the Temple of God, and
Amen.
We'll make sure that they get those funds given to them.
You can actually mail it to us. I'm going to give you the mailing address. It's the name of the ministry here is Spirit of Prophecy, and the address is Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995.
That's right.
Amen.
So
what a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing to be on WCNO.
That's right. So
all these years.
That's
Amen.
Right. And this is an outreach ministry for our ministry to get to more people. And only heaven will tell one day how many people have been touched by this program over these years. And
we want to thank all of you out there who pray for us.
That's right.
And you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just are thankful for those prayer warriors out there that do pray for Pastor Gene and myself. And, that we would be strong in the things of the Lord. Amen?
Absolutely.
And he's going to take care of us. We're strong in the things of the Lord. God's going to take care of everything else.
That's right.
There's no problem too big. If we trust God with our whole heart, all our heart and all our mind and all our might, that, you know, he's going to take care of us and he'll take care of you as well. So we just want to bless you today. And we
Amen.
Thank the Lord that God is using you as a minister. And if you're not born again and you're just turned on for the first time, then you have an appointment with God right now, because
That's right.
God wants to speak to you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God.
So we're honored to be here with you, and it's a precious time. Now we're coming up with the holidays. People will be busy and all that, but we got to remember the season, no matter what they're talking about, it's all about Jesus, Yeshua.
It's all, about,
it's all about Him, regardless. Instead of all, you know, the lights are wonderful and all that, but we got to remember how it's,
and the gifts
what
are wonderful,
about.
But you know, the gift.
Yes,
is the gift is the Holy Ghost,
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He is the gift,
that's
and
right.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. I like that one song, Keeps On Giving. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And what does He
sure
give?
Is.
He only gives good and perfect gifts. Amen.
That's right.
And you don't have, and there's no return.
That's right.
you know, it's not like
He doesn't take
story.
It back.
No, it doesn't take it back, and you don't want to give it back. You know,
that's right.
It's the perfect gift. You know,
that's
some
right.
people say, oh, I got a gift, but I don't like that gift. Well, you know, the gifts that God gives us, you will like because you'll love it because God only gives good and perfect
That's
gifts.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. So this
Thank
is an outreach
Lord.
Ministry to our church and all that, and the ministry we're involved with. And so,
thank you, Lord.
If you would be led,
we
just appreciate it. Pray and ask the Lord. If you've been listening to this program for maybe a year, a month, whatever, or 2 years, some people we've found have been
10 years.
To 10 years.
You never know.
Just ask the Lord and what he might have you to give to help the ministry to stay on the radio and accomplish what God wants with us. And so just ask the Lord.
Amen.
And you can make out that check
for
Spirit
us.
Of Prophecy Ministries and mail it into that post office box that Donna just mentioned.
Thank you, Lord.
413, and it's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. And we'll be honored to receive that, and you'll be blessed with what you do with it because
Thank
I believe
Lord.
You're putting this in good soil. Good return will come on it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So anyway, we're honored to be here with you again. And here we are, another year. We're almost done with 2014. It's hard to believe. And I got a birthday coming up, and it's hard to believe I got another birthday coming up.
January 1st.
January 1st. I'm a New Year's boy, so anyway. Well, anyway, last week we were talking about Hanukkah, and we went back to Daniel chapter 8, because I've heard so many ministers over the years say there's nothing in the First Covenant. You know, they call it the Old Testament. I like to call it the First Covenant. The First Covenant, they would allude to anything about Hanukkah, but there's so much that's here that they haven't looked at prophetically. Daniel chapter 8 establishes the time and how long it was going to last when this Antiochus Epiphanes IV that came out of the Seleucid Empire from the Greek Empire when Alexander the Great died and all that. He was the eighth king that came out of that kingdom that Alexander the Great had. Well, then he did all this damage with Israel, went and stopped all their sacrifices, history shows he even put a statue of Zeus on the altar, God's altar, and put his face on it and declared himself to be God because his name, Antiochus Epiphanes, the word Epiphanes means God manifest. And so he declared himself to be God. And then we took you over to John chapter 10, where Jesus honored the Feast of Dedication, which is the term, a Hebrew term, is Hanukkah. And he honored that. And that's where he said, I and my Father are one. And it kind of gives you where his origin came from, that he came from his father. And so we talked a little bit about that. And so we kind of ended last week over here in Daniel chapter 8, showing all the times that God had put in place. And the interesting thing with all of it was God showed us through this. If you listened to the program last week, if you didn't, you can get a copy of the CD. We showed you how the exact time out of Daniel chapter 8, the exact time that the Seleucids came in, you know, Antiochus and that group came in, and stopped all the sacrifices, and we proved it last week. He stopped it on the most joyous time on the Hebrew calendar, which is Tabernacles, and he stopped it on the very first day of Tabernacles. And so we revealed that to you. And so you might want to get that CD. If you want to, you can call. We'll be glad to mail it out to you. All we ask for is a love offering. Maybe you have that one, and this one we're going to talk about today as well. And so we have some amazing things with all this that God put in place, and the days are so important. But we kind of mix things up sometimes. We can't take the Word of God and take when we see a number of days and then turn it into years, because that's not good exegesis. We've got to do what God shows us. And so when He gives us a number of days, that's fine. But if He tells you the days are going to represent years, you know, like in Ezekiel's day, remember, he was told to lay on one side for a number of days and on the other side for a number of days, okay, and all that. And so we got to take it literally for what it says. So anyway, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, and I wanted to do this last week, and we didn't get to that point, but the whole thing about Hanukkah, which is so precious, and I want to mention this is not one of God's appointed times. I'll say that again. It's not one of God's appointed times. Neither is Purim, but God remembers these people, these kingdoms that come against His people, and He will use what happened in those days and how He delivered them. He will use it again to show us things that's going to happen in the very last days where we're in right now. We're in the last of the last days. I believe that with all my heart. And so we were going to show you a couple things over in Daniel chapter 12. What was this all about? Now, Remember, Daniel chapter 12 is the 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, which in Matthew 24, it's called the Great Tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years. But we see over, it's the last 3.5 years. And so God says something in verse 11, says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, we talked about this a little bit last week. The tribulation, Jacob's trouble, is divided into two sections of 1,260 days each. So we got an additional 30 days left over here. Well, I'm not going to teach on that today, but this is referring about a time called Purim, okay? This is what God's revealing to them, what Purim was all about, to establish a date in the future that God's going to do something when the kingdom is established, okay? And so we need to understand that as well. But I'm not going to talk about that today, but what I want to look at is verse 12, because this is relating with Hanukkah. Now listen real close here. The scripture says, blessed is he. So that means there's going to be some people alive at the end of Jacob's trouble that's going to go into the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. Blessed is he that waiteth, he's waiting patiently, huh? And cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. So that's 1,335 days. Well, now we've got an additional 75 days beyond what the Bible talks about, of the two sections of Jacob's trouble being 1,260 days each. Now remember, all these things start from Passover. Passover is mid-trib, and this is when all the trouble is going to break out on this earth, when the false Messiah is going to take over, have his own monetary system. He's going to have the religious system. He's going to be the government. He's going to have all of it. That's what he's going to attempt to do. Well, this is going to give us a clue about this, what's going to happen with all this. And so that's what Hanukkah, one thing, was put in place. We know historically an event happened that desecrated the temple and it had to be rededicated. Well, there's going to be another temple that's going to be desecrated in the future. The one that's going to be in Jacob's trouble will be desecrated. Well, it has to be rededicated again also. So I want to show you something here today about this. And then when we're done with this, I want to take you over and we're going to show you, I have a lesson in the book I wrote, The Pictures of the Messiah, that we offer to you for $25 if you like it, maybe $2 or $3 for shipping, about the biblical dates for Messiah's conception and birth. We're only going to talk about the conception because I believe the Bible shows it was done at Hanukkah when he was conceived and married by the Holy Ghost. So we'll do two things here if we can today with this time. And my dear wife here, she can interject whenever she wants, but I just want to show you this. This verse 12 is so important, okay? Blessed is he, I'm going to say it again, that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days, 1,335 days. So I mentioned there was 75 days left over. Now think about this. Mid-trib starts, it's going to be there at Passover. Remember, now Passover actually starts on Nisan 10 and runs to the 21st of the month. So that's called the Passover season. So if we go from Nisan 10 at mid-trib and we go out 1,260 days, we're going to come to Tishri 10 on the Jewish calendar, which is the Day of Atonement. And I believe, and I've shared this a lot on the radio for years, I believe that's the day that Yeshua is going to come back and put his foot on the Mount of Olives, as it says over in Acts chapter 1. We don't know what year we're on for sure, but that's when he's going to come back. Why? To come back for his people and to establish the kingdom. When he comes back, you that are believers, whether you're died or whether you're caught off the earth and are believers, we'll come back with him at that time. And so the Day of Atonement is so important on the Jewish biblical calendar because it's a day assigned to them and God's people. You can read Leviticus chapter 16, the only chapter we have, a whole chapter on one of the appointed times. And so you can see how it kind of fits in if you read all that. And so if we go from Nisan 10, we come out 1,260 days, we come to Tishri 10, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, this is the thing. We have an extra 75 days here. Now, I've never heard this taught anywhere. Now, I'm not saying I know anything. Maybe somebody has. I don't know. But I struggled with this when I did this book. I mean, for days, couldn't understand what it was all about. And I looked at this commentary, I looked at that commentary, looked at what man had to say. So I finally just had to close up my Bible and says, God, what's this all about? Well, then when he revealed to me about the history of Hanukkah over in Daniel chapter 8, then the light began to come on to understand what's going on with all this. So, he said, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. It's incredible. So I thought, I said, well, Lord, how does this fit in? Because this is the end of Jacob's trouble, we know, and then there's going to be the temple was going to be have to be rededicated again, just like it was in Antiochus, because the false Messiah will come in and do more damage than Antiochus Epiphanes ever did. It's going to be even worse. It has to be rededicated. So as I thought about this, so I thought, well, Jacob's trouble will end on the Day of Atonement, according to Scriptures. So if we add 75 days to that, which we're talking about, you can do it on any calendar. We mentioned it last week. You add 75 days, you're going to come out to the first day of Hanukkah on Kislev 25. Isn't that incredible? This is right here. It's showing you some interesting things, okay? So this fits in to show us what God's plan is with all this. And you and I that are born again, whether we die or we're resurrected or we're alive when he comes and we're caught off the earth at the end of Jacob's trouble, think about this. This is incredible. We'll be in a heavenly realm for 7 years. We know that then we're going to come back. We're going to all be there at the end when this temple is dedicated again in the millennial kingdom, because it's been desecrated and it has to be rededicated. And so this is what's key about this. So Hanukkah is revealing some of these things to us. And you remember we mentioned last week in John chapter 10, where Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they got really upset with him because they say he was blaspheming God, declaring himself to be God. But Jesus spoke these words at the exact time of the year of Hanukkah, so that the people would realize several hundred years before that this man Antiochus Epiphanes came, and they knew in history what he did to the Jewish people and to the temple, how it was desecrated. So he was telling them this, that he was the one that was going to come. And so they accused him of pretending to be God, just like Antiochus did, and that he wasn't. But he said, "I and my Father are one." So he showed them right there, hallelujah, that he was the God-man in the flesh. It's incredible. And so it was all revealed in that chapter. So he chose the exact time of the year to say that and let them know that even though Antiochus was a false, a false despot in his day, coming against Israel and declaring himself to be God. But he was telling them in John 10, he says, "But I am the real. I am the one. He is the I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father except by me." And so it's interesting. So this is how this all kind of fit together with all, so we can see in the scriptures what it's all about. And so God wants us to know that. And there's a lot more to it. If you want to find out a lot more details, the book I have that we offer, I mentioned, for $25 has more details. But I want to show you something over in Ezekiel chapter 43 with you about some interesting things about the rededication of the temple, because we know that the false Messiah, the Antichrist, will desecrate the temple. We know that the Bible makes that clear about all that, because in Daniel chapter 11, it talks about there's two abominations of desolations. One of them was in Antiochus' day, and the other one will be when? In Jacob's trouble. So we see the what God's showing us to teach us something about this. Now, even showing over there that Antiochus, if you study history out with that group of people, the Seleucids, that Antiochus was the eighth king that came out of that kingdom after Alexander the Great died and gave it to all of his generals. Well, then after the eighth king, God doesn't talk about him anymore in Daniel chapter 11. So, but there was two or three more kings that came after that. So it's interesting that Daniel shows that this eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire is a pattern of what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 17. There's going to be an eighth king that's going to come out of that group of those nations. If you study that over there, well, I believe he's showing us this is what this is all about. It's giving us a clue how things are going to come to an end. Well, now I want to show this dedication of the temple that's going to come in the future. Now, Ezekiel 40 through 40 up through the end is all talking about what God's going to do with that millennial temple, and he gives all the dimensions and all that. Well, then we see after everything is put in place, but prior to this new temple being put in place with all these new dimensions, there's a temple there on the mount, because it has to be. The Bible shows us that at mid-trib there has to be a temple there. Now, I don't know how the Bible fits this all together, but that temple and then the millennial temple is going to have different dimensions and everything. I don't really fully understand all that, but God's going to have to show us in the future. But there will be a temple that will be built in the Jacob's trouble, and it's going to be desecrated to a terrible place during that time. And so when Yeshua comes back on the Day of Atonement, and we see this 75 days later, we come to the first day of Hanukkah, and we can see in Daniel and all, and then we see in Ezekiel 43 that the temple is going to be rededicated. So I want to take you to 43 of Ezekiel, and let's look at something here. Where do I want to go here? I'm going to start in verse 20. Let's read some scripture. "And thou shalt take of the blood thereof, and put it on the four horns of it, and on the four corners of the settle, and upon the border round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it," what, the altar and the temple area. "Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and ye shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary," as it tells us in the Word of God. "And on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. And when thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, and a ram out of the flock without blemish. Now here we go, listen to this now. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them. This caught my eye this morning. Pastor Don's been talking about salt a lot at the church. This was the theme for the Bible marathon, wasn't it, Pastor Don?
Yes, it was. And the Bible says way back in the beginning of the Bible,
that's right,
that every sacrifice
will be salted with salt. Amen.
And we can teach on what salt does. You know,
that's right.
Salt's important.
So it says he's going to salt all those sacrifices, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering. Remember, mm-hmm. burnt offerings are free offering
unto the Lord.
Now this is 7 days. Thou shalt prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. Now, this says 7 days. Well, somebody might be thinking, well, Hanukkah lasts for 8 days. Well, you're going to see this right now. Verse 27.
On the 8th day.
Look what happened on the 8th day. And when these days are expired, this is revealed in Daniel 12:12 that we just looked at, it shall be, you know, those extra 75 days, that it shall be that upon the 8th day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar, because it's been cleansed and all that, and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. So that's when it's going to be rededicated.
And the 8th, it was the cleansing was during the 7 days.
That's right.
And the 8th day is a picture of new beginnings.
That's right.
New beginnings.
So this is what they had to do with this. And so the temple was rededicated this time. And so it started on the first day of Hanukkah,
then,
I believe.
You know, that Pastor Gene, and then God says he will accept.
He will accept
it. He wouldn't accept it until everything was cleansed.
Until it was cleansed out the way God wanted, and it had to be purified and all that. And we've talked about this with Yeshua. You know, he made two advents to heaven, didn't he, Pastor Donna? The first time was when he came out of his tomb. Remember, Mary wanted to touch him. He said, don't touch me, because I have not ascended to my Father. Well, he took his blood up to what? To rededicate the temple in heaven, because if you don't know this, sin originated in heaven with Lucifer and all the fallen angels. So he rededicated the temple, came back to the earth, and then spent those what? Those 40 days with the disciples, and then he went back to be with his Father again.
So no one, not just because, I got to clarify this, not just because she was a woman.
That's right.
It just happened to be the women were the ones who were running to the tomb.
That's
you know,
right.
They had to go back and tell the men.
Hallelujah.
But no one was to touch him.
That's
man,
right.
Male or female.
That's right.
He had to go to his Father first. See? First.
It's priorities.
Makes me think about seek first the kingdom of God.
God, that's right.
We have to go to God first, always. He had to go to, he and Jesus is our example. He went to God first, went
that's
back
right.
to return to his Father first. Then when he came back, he touched me. He said, he told them,
so then you can
touch me.
Yeah.
Touch me.
Look at my hands. Look
yes,
at my
look,
side.
Feel me.
Yeah.
To feel me. And he ate with them. And
that's right.
And he, you know,
incredible.
Was there with them to,
right.
to teach them, to love them, to show them the things of the kingdom for what? How many days? 40 days.
That's right.
He spent with his disciples and with the people that loved him, the women, the men, you know, the people that loved him, and he taught them the things of the kingdom.
For 40 days.
And he didn't tell them not to touch them. No.
That's right.
I'm sure he probably perhaps even embraced them. He said, touch me. You know, he told that to Thomas, right? He doubted. And so he had to go to his Father first.
Peter might even hugged him, you know, because he knew he denied him 3 times. And of course, the Lord brought him back in
him. Do you love me?
Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Amen. It's incredible. So anyway, back to this verse 12 in chapter Daniel, verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth. So the people that are going to be there that survived Jacob's trouble, they're going to really be blessed. But we will be blessed because we're going to come back from heaven.
Hallelujah.
All the holy angels, we're going to come back. And so we're going to be blessed. And those people on the earth are going to be waiting for this day. So this verse is revealing the time that the temple is going to be the beginning of the dedication. The time of Hanukkah. Isn't that incredible? Wow! It's so incredible. So what was Hanukkah all about? Let's go back and mention this. Remember that when they came back, they only found one flask of oil that had to be prepared. They would light that menorah. And so they lit the menorah, and it miraculously burned for 8 days while they had time to make more oil. That was the miracle of Hanukkah. So Hanukkah has always been called, from that time on, it's called what? The Festival of Lights. It was the Festival of Lights. Well, Yeshua is the light of the world, okay? And so it's incredible when we think about that. And so what the Jews did at that time, when they rededicated the temple in Antiochus' day, when he came in and stopped their sacrifices and everything, at the beginning of Tabernacles, well, when it was all over after those 3 years and 70 days, they'd been up in the mountains, but they came back to Jerusalem and they left off exactly where it was stopped, and they had a joyous time. And remember, Tabernacles is also called what? Has a ceremony called what? The Festival of Lights. And so we have these two patterns right here of Yeshua's conception at Hanukkah. We're going to talk about that. And his birth during the Feast of Tabernacles. But I only want to talk
about
the conception.
The same amount of lights, a lot of things the same.
That's right.
And it's, if you think about this with your own life, you see they wanted to go back to the temple. That was where they worshiped the Lord.
That's it.
I mean, that was the place. Mm-hmm. But it was filthy. I mean, it was filthy.
Sure
not just
was.
Filthy
oh,
with
my.
Perhaps dirt on the floor.
It's more than that.
But sacrifices, blood from a pig.
That's right.
Sacrificed pig on the altar. Graffiti on the wall. Terrible things were done. Terrible sins that come against God's word.
Abominations
were done in that place. Well, you think about us, right? We're to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple. So Jesus comes to us, and we receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we receive Him. And what does He do? He wants to cleanse us.
That's right.
He wants to cleanse us, and He wants
from all
to,
unrighteousness.
And some things just go away. Immediately, you know, mm-hmm. when you get born again. But there's things that we need to be transformed. We need to have the renewing of our mind. We need
Amen.
To have the mind of the Spirit of God, not the mind of the world.
That's right.
And so, in the mind of which is the mind of Christ. So we need to be renewed in
all the time, don't we?
Spirit of our mind, right? We need to have even more, see, because there's everything just doesn't just disappear.
That's right.
We still have mindsets. We still have thoughts. So how do we get those changed? Well, they had to cleanse for 7 days. What do? We seek the Lord, and we seek the Lord, and we read His word. And when, you know, God brings conviction.
That's right.
And,
Amen.
You know, and because, you know, some people still have some bad habits, and that's not really pleasing to the Lord. Or maybe there's still sin in their life and areas of their life that they haven't really turned over to the Lord. See, we can turn our heart over to the Lord. But sometimes people have difficulties turning other things over to the Lord because they're in bondage.
That's right.
They're in bondage. And it can be bondage because of their own personal sin, or it could be perhaps bondage from generational things that
sure.
they've had in their past.
Absolutely.
So it took them 7 days here. How long does it take? See, God, it's always renewing. We're always being renewed in the spirit of our
so
mind.
8 days they worked on
it. So it says, the Bible says, to be ye renewed in the spirit of
your
mind.
Yeah.
So with us spiritually, it's a total washing all the time. The Bible is, as we're reading the Bible, as we're praying, in the Holy Ghost, like you were doing a few minutes ago. See, God is always working, always wanting to work in us. So that's why it says there that that sacrifice was salted with salt.
Salt.
So if we go back and you look in the Genesis, you know, in the beginning, in the Bereshit, every sacrifice was salted.
Salted, everyone.
Salt. And so as we're reading the Bible, we're being salted mm-hmm. with the salt of His Word. And we're being purified with the fire of His word. Because He says, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. So, you know, you don't just pour a whole bucket of salt on something. No.
You smother it out. Yeah.
It's salted means you're sprinkling it, right?
That's right.
The sprinkling and the watering of the word builds a fire in us that wants to purge out all of the stuff, the sin.
God wants you to
get
rid
of. The bad thoughts,
that's right.
The bad habits.
Amen.
All of the stuff. When you seek God first, you can't seek man and you can't seek other things along with God. You got to seek God first.
First.
Amen.
And the other things will be added.
And His righteousness.
That's right.
So, and His righteousness is what's going to stir up this stuff and
right.
and pull it out of us. It's
Amen.
Almost like pulling out poison.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've been poisoned by the things of the world. We think about, I think
desensitized,
about.
Desensitized, yeah.
I think about how Satan deceived Eve
right.
in the garden. See, she listened to him.
That's right.
And so he became her master.
Yeah.
Because she listened to him.
Yeah.
To Satan.
And he lied to her.
And he yeah. lied to her.
That's right.
So, but what did she do? She turned her. Basically turned herself over to the enemy, and she allowed
yeah.
it, and she allowed him to become her master, because she
right.
did what he said. So if you're doing what somebody says, you basically you're placing yourself under them, which makes them your master.
Your master, yeah.
And so what did she do? She turned herself over.
That's right. Big mistake, huh?
Big mistake.
So we think about Hanukkah. Think about it. It's all about rededication, isn't it? So here, think about you and I. If you're on the radio and you're born again, mm-hmm. you're the temple of God. So they went in and cleaned all the junk out of the temple, that these false
defilement.
People. Defilement mm-hmm. that was brought to
Sin.
The temple and all that.
Prostitution.
And they had to shed blood to get rid of all this. And so you and I, we're under the blood of Yeshua. And so we need to have our temple cleansed all the time. And if there's
all
something
the
there, we need to say, God, I want to get rid of it. No matter how much it's a struggle or hard, turn it over to Him, and He can pull that out of your temple. So
you'll be
more pure.
And a lot of people say, "Well, you know, God is love." Well, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
But God's more than love.
Well, that's why He loves us. He
that's
wants us to change.
That's why He loves
yeah.
us. And then some people say, "Well, you know, God knows what my weakness is." Well, you know, weaknesses are one thing, but God says that we're to be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
So if we're strong in the Lord, those weaknesses are going to
go, and we can overcome them.
And we can speak to them, and we can tell them to go in the name of Jesus Christ,
that's right.
our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
We can tell them to go, whatever it is. You know, we don't have to answer to our weaknesses.
That's right.
And that's what people do. They say, well, God is love, and God understands me, and He knows my weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so God forgives. God doesn't continually forgive something we continually do over and over and over again.
You're right.
That we know is wrong.
That's
we
right.
know in our heart, we know in our mind, even we know. It says at creation, we know when we're doing something wrong.
The Bible says that's insulting the Spirit of grace.
Right. And so even though God is love, you know, God didn't put up with all the things that they did.
That's
forever
right.
and ever and ever, you know.
That's
and there's
right.
going to be come an end when, you know, He's not going to put up with everything that
That's
goes
right.
on and on. In our nation, even the things that are happening in our nation right now, God is not going to put up with them forever and ever and ever. You know, even though God is love, God is looking for people who love Him. And people who truly love Him will put aside, will get rid of the other stuff, just like they cleanse that temple.
That's right.
That's a literal example of what God wants to do into our hearts spiritually.
Right.
Not just our hearts, but it says that our whole spirit, mind, and body would
That's
be
right.
what? Holy.
Holy. Spirit, soul, and body at His appearing when He comes for all
mm-hmm.
of us. It's incredible. Amen.
Thank
well,
you
let's
Lord.
Talk a little bit about the conception. Now, it's interesting how God chose, this wasn't a point in time, we know, but He chose this season because of a nation. You know, that came against God's people, and He remembers those things. And as it was established, it became a festival of lights. And we just want, I don't want to read the whole thing. This is a lesson in the commentary in this book that I have that you can have for $25, plus about $3 for shipping and handling. We'd be glad to send it out to you. But let's talk about this. First thing to understand about the conception of Yeshua, we have to look at the conception of John the Baptist first. And this is all revealed in Luke chapter 1, verses 5. Through 25. Now I'm just going to pick out a few things here as we go through this, and we might want to read this, Pastor. Now if you want to go over to Luke chapter 1. Now think about this. It says here, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias as he was ministering in the temple, it was during the ministration of a man years ago. His name was Abijah. In our Bible, it's called Abiah because of the way they translate, you know, from the Hebrew to the Greek, but it was Abijah. And he was of the eighth order. And this is revealed in Luke 1:5. See what it says? There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. She was a daughter of a priest, huh? And her name was what? Elizabeth. Now verse 9 also says this, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And 1 Chronicles chapter 24 verse 10 tells you that he was the eighth order. So this gives us a clue. And this is all starting from Passover, okay?
Eighth order.
That's right. And even the Talmud reveals this. If you've got a Talmud, you can look at some of the things about this time of the year. Now, think about this. The eighth week of service covers, this is what, on God's biblical calendar, the eighth week of the service covers the last week of the second Hebrew month, which is the month of Iyar, which is what, after Passover. And the first week of the third Hebrew month, which is Sivan, that's the month that Pentecost comes in, okay? Which culminates, this is interesting, it culminated the service he had at Shavuot, which we know as Pentecost. This is the anchor point for discovering the exact time of Yeshua's birth. Now, we're not looking about his birth right now. We want to talk about his conception, but we need to know this as well. The angel promised Zacharias, what? That his prayers had been answered in Luke 1:13. Let's read that. Read that, Pastor John. 1:13.
But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
God even named him. And when he went home to his wife Elizabeth, she conceived, and it seems like almost immediately. Now let's read Luke 1:23 and 24, Pastor Donna.
1:23 and 24. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying,
go ahead and read that also.
Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men.
Remember, she was barren, never had any children. That was really not good news for a woman back in those days. They wanted to have children. Mm-hmm. All right? So we read this. Now think about this. This puts the conception then of John the Baptist very near the time of Pentecost or Shavuot, in the second week of the month of Sivan, which is the third Hebrew month. And you can look at this. Now listen to this now. Now we'll talk about the actual conception of Yeshua with this. Now this is, you can read this on your own. It's Luke 1:26-55. But we're just going to pick out a few verses here to kind of put this together with you. Now listen to this. Then at the close of the sixth month, you can read this in verse 26 here. It says, in the sixth month, this is 6 months after she was pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Amen?
Amen. To a virgin?
Yeah.
Espoused to be a man whose name was Joseph.
That's
of
right.
The house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary.
To prove this now, that about the sixth, this won't mean the sixth month on the Jewish calendar, over in verse 36 it says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. So over, this is showing she was 6 months pregnant.
Now, 6 months pregnant.
That's right. Now.
And she hid herself.
That's right. Then the close of the sixth month we talked about, of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this was in 1:26, we already read that. The angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary, and Gabriel told Mary about Elizabeth, saying, she who was barren, or who is called barren, is 6 months pregnant. We just read that, Luke 1:36. Read it again, Pastor Donna. 1:36.
1:36.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. Now, that clarifies it.
She's 6 months pregnant.
Okay.
Pregnant, I should say.
Right. Who was called barren.
Barren. All right. Now let's go on now.
For with God, I like 37.
Yeah, all things
for with
possible.
God, nothing shall be impossible.
So Mary, of course, she believed God. Now let's go on with this. Mm-hmm. So we read Luke 1:36. This would be the last of the ninth Hebrew month of the month of Kislev. If you go 6 months from the time that Zacharias' wife was pregnant, this brings you out to the time of Kislev, which is the time of Hanukkah. Now listen to this. This is key. There are exactly 27 weeks between the end of Zacharias' service of Abijah, remember the eighth order, and the start of Hanukkah, which is dedication, which is celebrated 8 days from Kislev 25 to Tevet 2. So exactly 27 weeks. Now listen to this now. Mary, Donna just read that, Mary accepts the word of the angel concerning the conception of Yeshua in her, and she immediately rushes from Nazareth to the home of Elizabeth and Zacharias in the Judean mountains close to Jerusalem. It's about a 3-day journey there. From Nazareth. You can read this in Luke. Let's read this, Pastor Don. Verse 39 and 40 in chapter 1.
Okay. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth.
Read the next verse too. This is
and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard this salutation of Mary, the babe leaped
in her
womb.
Whoa.
And Elizabeth was filled with the
Holy Ghost.
Now, don't ask me how that happened, but it was because the baby, Mary was pregnant, and Yeshua, just being in the presence of God, even in the womb, right, when Mary walked in,
that's right.
That Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Because of what her son was going to do when he was born. Amen. It's incredible.
But it was because Mary had come into the room. And Mary,
that's right.
And what was in Mary's womb?
Jesus was
Yeshua,
in her womb. That's
the,
right.
The Holy,
Yeshua.
The Spirit,
right.
The Holy Ghost, the yeah. Son of God. God himself.
Now, another reason we're thinking about, I wonder why Mary went to Elizabeth's house. Well, this might be a clue. Mary was probably going there to celebrate Hanukkah because all the Jews did that, okay? All the Jews celebrated these days, and also she came to what? To help Elizabeth with her pregnancy, as well as to talk to Elizabeth about what? The angel of visitation to her. She told her all what happened.
Now, they must have had a good relationship.
They sure did, yeah. Now, upon Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, Elizabeth responded to Mary, calling her what? The mother of my Lord. Read Luke 1:43, Pastor Don.
That's awesome.
1:43.
And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord, wow, should come to me?
Okay.
She knew, didn't she?
She knew that he was the Messiah, that he was the Lord.
She knew.
That's right.
For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy because he was in the presence of Yeshua.
That's
Isn't
right.
that awesome?
Incredible.
And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, this demonstrates then.
And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord,
my Lord,
and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior.
That's right. So Elizabeth responded to Mary, calling her what? The mother of my Lord. Now, this demonstrates that Mary was already pregnant with Yeshua.
Yes, she was.
Thus, Yeshua was conceived, what, at Hanukkah? The festival of lights, for he is the light of the world, as it says in John 8:12. Now, think about this. Sometimes the time of Hanukkah falls close to Christmas. This year, it's pretty close. The Roman Church, the Catholic Church of medieval times, combined the pagan winter solstice in late December with the 25th of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, which is Hanukkah, the beginning of it, to create Christmas. It's called what? The Christ Mass on December 25th. Supposedly, this was to celebrate what? Christ's birth. Well, we know this is not true. This is a deception, okay? Now, let's go on. Yeshua is shown celebrating Hanukkah in John chapter 10. We read that last week, verses 22 through 23. It is at this celebration that he declares, I and my Father are one, in John 10:30, which testifies to his divine origin and his conception, right? If I and my Father are the one, he must have came from the Father, right? It also reinforces Hanukkah as the time of his conception. Historically, then, it is more accurate to celebrate Yeshua entering the world through conception at Hanukkah rather than to celebrate his birth at Christmas. As we shall understand, if we look at all, we'll understand it. You get the commentary, you can read the rest of it. Christmas is not the birthday of Christ. We know that. But thank God someplace in our country, in the world, they're honoring the birth of Christ. Amen? Even though it may not be the right day. So Christmas is really not the birthday of Christ. It was something that man made. In fact, Christmas is really an invention resulting from religious compromise with a pagan foundation and tradition. We know that. Christmas only has harmony with the truth in that it falls approximately at the time of the year when Yeshua was conceived by what? The Holy Ghost. This year it's really close, isn't it? So, this tells you about the conception. So, isn't it interesting that God would use a time from way back in history that was called the Festival of Lights to bring his son into the world, who's the light of the world. And then if you take a normal birth, you know, it's like it's 280 days of a period of conception to birth. And of course, the Jewish people believe that a birth is not completed until, if it's a son, especially if it's a male, until it's completed on the eighth day when that child is circumcised. So we really got a period of not 40 weeks, but 41 weeks until the birth. And so it's incredible when we look at all this. And so isn't it interesting if we go this 41 weeks from Hanukkah in Yeshua's day, okay? Or before, I should say, before Yeshua's day. Here he is pregnant in his mother's womb. We go the 280 days, the 41 weeks, and we come out to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is another, has a ceremony during Tabernacles called the Festival of Lights. Isn't it incredible? Where they have those four big candelabras we talk about, was put in the court of the women. Hallelujah. And they would continue to burn during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so what an amazing pattern to show us. You know, here it, so that would be the birth. So both of those, Hanukkah and Tabernacles, are appointed time, not appointed times. Tabernacles is, but not Hanukkah. But both of them were assigned a time called a Festival of Lights. And so Yeshua is the light of the world. That's what he said over there in John chapter 8, we just mentioned, verse 12. So what an incredible thing that God's revealing this to you and I today, to know the truth about his son and how he came. Isn't it amazing? And this is all in Luke chapter 1 and part of Luke chapter 2 with his birth as well. And also we have to look at what? We looked at, talked about 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10, about Abijah being the eighth order of the priesthood. Remember, the priesthood had to serve in the temple. They had to serve that week. Twice a year they did that. They had to do that. And so that was his service. We read that right here in verse 8 of chapter 1. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, which was the eighth course. And so here we have this. And so it brings you right up to this time. It shows you the exact number of weeks. And I mentioned this is very key. There are 27 weeks between the end of Zacharias' service of Abijah and the start of Hanukkah, which is dedication, which is celebrating, 8 days from Kislev 25 to Tevet 2. Incredible, isn't it, Pastor Don?
Amen.
So he is the light of the world. So we ought to rejoice and shout and jump up and down and everything that he's given us. And so we have all these patterns that God's showing us. And so even about the rededication of the temple, but the key thing with you and I listening here is we are the temple of God. Aren't we, Pastor Donna? The Godhead dwells in us. And so we need to continually keep our temple cleansed of any debris, anything that's contrary to what God would want. Bad habits, bad talk, bad thoughts, tail-bearing, all the things we could talk about that would come out of this temple. God wants only purity and holiness to come out of this temple that we have. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And in the book of Hebrews, it says if we don't seek after holiness, that means being set apart holy for God, we'll never see the face of God. So we have to be holy, right? Remember what Peter said? He quoted the Old Testament where God says, be holy as I'm holy. And so that's what we're attempting to become completely holy with, but we won't be set apart for him in everything that we do. So this is what's key about this season, I think, is because we are the temple of God, and it needs to be cleansed all the time. And when we get born again, as Donna said a little while ago, not everything comes out when we get born again, does it, Donna?
Mm.
Some things come out right away, but then we have those little foxes that destroy the fence. And so then we have to continue to work on those things. We have familiar spirits that have been hanging around us before we got saved.
Just situations in life.
Yeah.
Just life situations,
yeah.
You know, can cause you to get even a bad attitude, you know.
Sure.
And then we need to check our heart, you know, because out of the heart, our mouth
speaks.
Mouth
and we have all these familiar spirits been hanging around us all the years before we got saved, don't we? We have to deal with all that.
We need to do
to change our thinking pattern.
Clean it up. Amen.
And what Paul said, I think, in Romans 12, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies
a living sacrifice
holy and acceptable unto God. So, see, a living sacrifice could crawl off the altar. When they sacrificed those animals we just read there in Ezekiel chapter 43, well, they tied them on the altar. They couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
But you and I, he's asking us to voluntarily to crawl up on that altar and let him cleanse us. And then he tells you the next verse of what? Be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might find that good and acceptable what? Will for your life. God's will for your life. It's incredible.
Praise the Lord.
So how do we do that? By the word of God. That's what's going to wash our mind.
It says so.
Washing of the word over our mind. That's what I change our thinking
you,
to think the way God wants
thank
us to think.
Lord.
So this is an incredible time of the year to celebrate and honor.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll
be doing some things. And so it's honored for 8 days. We're going to light a menorah.
Yes, we do.
We're going to light one every day just like they do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, we'll have all of them all at the same time. And the menorah is interesting.
It's the light of the world.
Yeah, this is not a 7-candle opera. This is an 8-candle, right?
Well, 9, actually.
Right. Counting the Seamus in the middle, which is who?
The picture of
Yeshua. He's the light
of the world.
He's the one that lights all of it. And so it's incredible we're going to have. So?
Actually, we light that candle first.
That's right.
Then we light the first day. And then the second day, we light the first one in the center first. And then we light this first one and the
second one.
The second one and the first one. And until we have all of them
all
lit.
All lit.
And it's 8 days, plus the one which stands in the center, which is the picture of Yeshua. He's the one that lights all of our lives, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think about that menorah. It was put in the holy place in the temple. Not in the holy of holies, but in the holy place. Because there was no windows, there was nothing. And so it was shining, it was so bright. And what was it? It was showing us the light of the world was going to be coming soon. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach,
yeah,
the Messiah.
And we didn't talk about it, but you know, when the story of the Maccabees and how they found, how they were able to get the temple back and all, they found enough oil for one day. And the miracle, which is the Jewish people will always tell you, was the miracle was that was enough oil to last for 8 days.
God let it continue
and
to burn.
So God allowed it to continue to burn. So as long as we're seeking the Lord, God's going to, the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to burn in us. You know, some people get born again and they get filled with the Holy Ghost and then all of a sudden they kind of wane off. You know,
That's the light. Gets
a little dim. Why? Why does that happen? Because we aren't continually stirring up the flame of God within us and the fire of God within us to keep to stay on fire for the Lord. See, and you got to stay on fire for the Lord. And that's how that the salt that we're talking about, the sacrifice. Amen. We are a living sacrifice. We talk about a sacrifice being a living sacrifice. Well, when we come into praise and we worship the Lord and we lift holy hands and we do those things that are pleasing to the Lord, we are a living sacrifice. But if we're not going to church and we're not praying and we're not playing nice music, music in our home, and we're getting all caught
reading
up in the
word.
Things of the word,
right.
world, and we're getting all caught up in things of the world, and the world is kind of taking over,
yeah,
then what
yeah.
happens? You know, the flame gets
dim.
Dim. And so we have to stir ourselves in the Lord and in the Holy Ghost and stay and be that sacrifice that's willing to be salted by the Lord and lift up, worship the Lord in spirit
Amen.
And in truth and seek holiness, seek His Word, holiness. Seek His truth. And, you know, we can't just do that by just living our daily life and just not doing anything that's going to feed our spirit man.
That's
we
right.
feed our face, but we don't feed our spirit man.
That's right.
We need to feed our spirit.
But I even look at the moon, Pastor Donna. The moon goes through cycles.
That's right.
That's what we go through cycles, and we should be continually rededicating
mm-hmm.
ourselves so
that's
more
right.
and more light comes in when it goes out to a full moon.
You get a full moon.
That's right.
That's
it's incredible.
Yeshua rose on the
that's
full
right.
moon. He would die
that's
on that full moon.
He died on the full moon.
And
all. It's incredible.
Of everything. Praise
yeah.
God. Well, God is
but
good.
But it's good. He sure is. So anyway, we're honored to be here with you, and if you'd like to come and visit, sometimes we do our Shabbat one on Friday night.
Amen.
Tell them a little bit about
so
that
we
now
have
and give them the phone number again.
Services here in Stuart, Florida. This hour's gone by so quickly.
Sure does.
Well, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. I'm going to give you the phone number if you'd like to come and visit. We have services on Sunday and also on Friday, and then we have classes on Saturday. If you'd like a copy of our calendar for this month, and you would know, give you some more Jewish history
thoughts,
and
yep.
things like that, some
mm-hmm.
of the things that the Lord, we put on our calendar every month, we make one every month. You can give us a call, and we'd be glad to talk with you. If this has been a blessing to you, if you'd like to send an offering, that would be a blessing as well.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you our phone numbers. Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton, the name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And I always like to say, we're 007 agents.
That's right.
Amen.
So if you like a
for
copy.
For the Lord.
For the Lord. If you like a copy of this book that I wrote, the God's Prophetic Calendar, the Prophetic Picture of the Messiah, we offer that for $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling. You can have that.
Mm-hmm.
If you like that calendar that I've talked about, just send in a self-addressed envelope with your address.
Glad
and we'll be
one.
Glad to mail it out to you.
Amen.
So we're running out of time here, aren't we, Pastor Don?
It's good.
That's right. So we tell you every week when we get ready to close, we tell you to look up.
Because Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, yeah. We tell you to look up because what? Your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.